We are just, what, less than 24 hours away from the NBA trade deadline coming to an end. And we bring on Keith Smith of SpotTrack to join us here. Keith, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to get your opinion on the big one. Luka Doncic goes from Dallas to L.A. Anthony Davis goes from L.A. to Dallas. Some other moving pieces there. But what was your first thought? I know myself, when it hit my phone, I was like, somebody got hacked. This can't actually be real. And it seems to be a sentiment across the league, it seems like.
Yeah, you're 100% spot on with my reaction. As well, I had actually literally just like kind of wrapped up for the night. I was laying down. I was playing one of those stupid mobile games to kind of wind down. And then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, whoa, wait, like I am. Is this real? And then I'm looking, and it was when I started seeing the other ESPN personalities sharing, and then you had other reporters. And I was like, all right, this is real. It's time to get back to work.
I mean, what was your first thought about the trade in itself? I mean, it's not often a guy that is 25 years of age, that has accomplished what Luka has accomplished to this point, get traded at all, especially for another guy who's a first-team All-NBA or type guy. What was your first thoughts?
Yeah, you're spot on with that. It was, what is happening here? Like, what is going on? And my first thing was, well, we're going to find out that Luka Doncic told the Mavericks he was done with them, because that would have been the only thing that made sense to trade him. And now, you know, as we're a few days removed from this, we're finding out that Dallas loves Anthony Davis. They believe Anthony Davis is the guy for them moving forward. They think that he's going to be everything that they need him to be as they kind of, you know, go forward, and they're excited to have him as they build the next iteration of their team. I apologize, I have the hiccups.
No worries.
But they're in a spot where, you know, they are very much, you know, making it clear, like, this is what we wanted to do, and I think it's a complete misevaluation. I don't think he's anywhere near the level of player that Luka Doncic is, despite being a great player, but that's where Dallas is at, and that's why now Luka is a Laker.
Keith, let's take it from the Lakers' perspective here. I mean, after the surprise and, you know, winding down, my first thought after that was that this is the first step to life without LeBron James. And I don't necessarily think it meant, you know, we're showing LeBron the door, but we have to have ourselves in place a generational player in this organization after LeBron leaves. And the Lakers always seem to have one of these guys. They have for as long as I can remember. So do you think that that's what interested them? Because on the surface, unless they're able to make another trade or two here in the next couple days and get some help in the front court, I don't see how they can win anything the way they're currently constructed.
Yeah, so to the first part of that, this is 100% what this is. This is setting up for a post-LeBron Lakers. They wanted to have that super-duper star in place that can be the guy they're going to orbit everything around now moving forward, and that's Luka. That's, you know, he is that level of guy. He's the kind of guy that they can pitch, hey, come to L.A. and come play with him, and they're going to do, you know, everything that they can. Now, when that post-LeBron future starts, like, you know, is that going to be, you know, in the next year or two? We'll see. There, you know, him himself, he said, yeah, this thing's close to wrapping up, but what does that mean? That's only something really LeBron knows. As far as the other part, yeah, they're not contenders right now. They don't have enough in the front court. They're going to be a tough out come the playoffs, assuming, you know, Luka is healthy and LeBron is healthy, because those two guys are that good. It'll probably be a little bumpy initially as they figure out how to play with each other and play off each other, but eventually, you know, they'll get that sorted. They're going to be tough, but they're just, you know, they're moves away from being true title contenders. I don't know that, you know, much changes for them this year as far as their ultimate fate goes.
Keith Smith, SpotTrack, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Keith, this is such a fascinating trade because it has so many different kind of angles off of it. One of the angles that's probably being talked about less is the fact that Luka Doncic is going to lose out on $117 million. He can no longer sign for the Supermax. I mean, we were kind of kicking this around before. is this maybe a strategy, even though it may not be Dallas's strategy overall, but could teams look to do this down the line if they aren't quite sure about a guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing now in this new kind of world with teams, you know, setting things up under the aprons and trying to avoid getting stuck and that sort of stuff, I think you're in a spot where what you're seeing is if you're not 100% sold by the time you get to that so-called super max, a 35% max, you can't give it to a guy because then you run the risk of getting stuck with that player, and that's going to be tough. Now, all that said, I mean, it's Luka Doncic. Like, you know, I'll avoid the expletive that I like to add in there usually. But it's, you know, like that part, you know, doesn't make sense to me from the Mavs, but that's where they feel, and that's where they feel, and they're going to, you know, kind of do their other stuff. And that's going to be what is, you know, really going to be something to watch now as teams build out their rosters. Are they going to be able to find, you know, the right guys, you know, for this? And, you know, there are teams that are going to look at it and say the way forward is not two, three guys on max deals, but to have, you know, one guy on a max deal and build out all the rest of the guys around that.
Keith, you know, both Tony and I really believe, and I'm sure you do, that this trade was something that the NBA needed in a public relations manner. And what I mean by that is the only thing anybody's been talking about the NBA this year is how lousy the basketball is, how they're tired of the three-point shot, how the ratings are down and the interest is low and people aren't into it. And all of a sudden this trade comes along and now the NBA is front and center. It's the biggest thing going and nobody's talking about the three-point shots and any of that stuff. Once this dies down, are they going to be able to get back to that and trying to fix this sport so that more eyes will enjoy it?
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to fix with the NBA, you know, personally. And I get it. I'm closer to it. It's how I make a living. I love the game. But I think what's interesting is some of the loudest voices, when you hear them, you know, with the most criticism, they come out then usually and follow it up with, yeah, I don't really watch anyway.
Right.
And it's like, well, then what are you talking about, right? Like, you're out here yapping and a million people are listening to you, and then you say, yeah, but I don't watch anyway, but they've already turned it off or moved on, so they're missing that part. I think, you know, the NBA has a problem when their biggest television partners – on a nightly basis, put a bunch of people on air that people watch and listen to, and they dump on the game repeatedly because it's, you know, it's not played the way it was when I was there. And, you know, Charles Barkley continuing to, you know, say you can't win championships shooting jump shots when that's what everybody's done, you know, for basically a decade now. It's just, you know, that doesn't help either. It's kind of like I say, you know, if I'm like, oh, that new TV show is coming out, and all the people on it are like, yeah, it stinks, don't watch it. Well, I'm not going to watch it, right? Like it's, you know, that's where they get stuck. I also will say this. When you dig into it, and the NBA has come back at this, Bob Iger, you know, of Disney ESPN just talked about it today, that, you know, there's a lot of ways to measure ratings, and it gets lost a little bit in some of this stuff because people, when you look at traditional television rating, that is not the way people consume sports always now. And then they talked about how a lot their new media rights deal, which is very clear to call a media rights deal versus a television deal, is different. And it was constructed in a different way because people are consuming these things very differently than they did before. And the last thing I'll say, too, is ratings for all sports are down. Even the NFL, which is still king in the country, they saw less people watching. And I think that's just a fact of there's 9 million things to try to consume now of all stuff. And I think people are just spread very, very thin with what they can do in their downtime.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You got to be careful to some of the voices you're listening to because, as you put it, Keith, they're not necessarily watching the game in the same way that basketball fans do. Now, Keith, obviously, the trade deadline coming up here soon. Kevin Durant's name, it seems like a lot of stars, excuse me, names are being yeah. mentioned right now. It just seems a little bit off. It's the Suns want to move, but they also want to bring in Jimmy Butler. How do you think this lands? Do you think KD gets moved? Do you think Butler gets moved? Because it seems like they are setting up, at least from the stories I read today, they are setting it up so that in case he can't, that he has a landing spot back in Miami. Do you see a scenario in which he stays in Miami through this season, and do you think KD gets moved?
Yeah, if we do Jimmy Butler first, because that I think is the far easier one, he's going to get traded before 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, because the Heat are they're too far down the line with this to bring him back. He wants no part of going back. There's been some leaking to the media of, hey, if we don't make a deal, we'll welcome him back. But that is so far gone, it's not going to happen. And that's more just an absolute cover if, you know, everything goes wrong. They'll find a trade for him. And they've been trying to set up the fans as well with reports of, hey, we don't necessarily need, you know, X, Y, and Z in return. We now are looking for this. And that's trying to set people up for less of a return. When you get to Kevin Durant, this is where I say normally I'd be like, yeah, that's crazy. They're not going to trade Kevin Durant. And then I have to remind myself Luka Doncic got traded a couple days
right.
ago. And that's where you're at, where you really kind of, it's like, all right, yeah, I guess. And one of the things that's come out is Phoenix is a little worried. Is Kevin Durant going to pull next year when he's in the final year of his deal? Yeah, I don't really intend to be here long term. I'd like to be somewhere else. And then are they going to be stuck there? Well, now we got to find a trade for him, and they're maybe trying to get out ahead of it a little bit. And their path to Jimmy Butler is probably, at this point, doesn't look like they're going to find a taker for Bradley Beal. They're not going to trade Devin Booker. So that means it has to be Kevin Durant if you're going to make a move, just given where the Suns are at. And I think they may be looking at, if Kevin Durant doesn't want to be here, Jimmy Butler does, and he's a little bit lesser of a player, but we can figure this out by getting him in here.
Yeah, it should be a very, very interesting next less than 24 hours. Keith, as always, man, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.